Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
ドリームプロジェクト、ドラゴンボールの鳥山明、ドラゴンクエストの堀井雄二、ファイナルファンタジーの坂口浩之、僕らの夢が今時空を超える。クロノトリガー予約キャンペーン実施中。
スクエアソフト新発売。
I caught three things. Yeah. Final Fantasy, Chrono Trigger, and Squaresoft.
Squaresoft.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Play Retro. Yes, that's right. This is Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and my name is Chrono P. Trigger. And I'd like to know what it takes or will take to get you into the best shiny classic game for the Super NES today. We've got great deals here at Play Retro Auto, and with every person sold, you'll get a free poorly designed Mode 7 game section.
Oh, that hurts. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I've been to the year 3000, and not much has changed, but they lived underwater. Well, some of them. The rest of them are all like sad and crap. Oh, and your great-great-great-granddaughter? Well, she's looking fine. I mean, is she fine? She is fine. Okay, now quick. To the time hole. We got to get back in time for some more JRPG action from 1995, where the Dragon Ball references are aplenty and random encounters are a few. You got whack because you're weak.
It's actually one of the things, right? I love about that game is you see what you're going to fight before you fight it. And yeah. I like it. Most JRPGs.
Screw them random encounters.
Yeah, I don't like them. I'm not a fan. Still,
no overworld random encounters. That's my favorite part.
Oh, I hate those so much. Overworld ones are the worst. In-world ones are the second worst. It's what stopped me from playing classics like Final Fantasy VII to its full completion in the year 1990-07, whatever the hell it was. 1990-07. That's
1990-07. How many is that? One. You are Chrono Trigger. Look at you. Wow. You're traveling to the future.
Yep.
You're some kind of time lord.
I got into that the portal while they were trying to have a fair or whatever the crap was going on in that thing. That was a mistake. Anyway, we're going to talk about Chrono Trigger, and we know it's beloved, and we know we're never going to do it justice. So just know going into this that this will be our loving attempt to talk about it in hallowed ways. And, you know, never forget the main reason that we're doing, not the main reason, but one of the reasons we're doing it is because Akira Toriyama, the character designer of Dragon Quest and of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and so many other cool things, was also lead artist and sort of art director over this game. And we're going to talk about his role.
He passed away this past week for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
a lot of people affected by it because a lot of you grew up on Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. Dragon Quest. Yeah, you're all this stuff. I watched a little Dragon Ball Z, and then I went back and watched some Dragon Ball this past week, thanks to playing this game.
I can't do Dragon Ball the original thing. I just can't do it. But I can do Z.
I actually like it because it's even closer to Astro Boy, which I already love and I was already kind of like on a journey with.
Yeah.
And so seeing the original kind of leans more into that for me. Mm-hmm. And so it was good for me to see that. I watched Dragon Ball Z and I'm like, oh, okay, I can't quite see the leap and something's missing here. And I was right. It was the original Dragon Ball from the, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. Dragon Ball Z was more about, okay.
It was the grown up.
We're going to go Super Saiyan. We're going to go Super Saiyan. And that means the screen's going to be full of insane crap. So get ready.
Yeah.
And it was a good time in that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk all about it. We're coming up on that in a second. But before we do, speaking of anime, I've been playing a lot of games that are very, very, very Japanese. It's all your fault. It's all Play Retro's fault, because we did that whole thing with Advance Wars, and it just drug me down a hole. And I talked last week about Tales of Arise, and what was the other one? Scarlet Nexus. I've played a ton of, about 8 hours of that so far. Mm-hmm. Another 8 hours of Arise, and then I also picked up this week Grand Blue Fantasy Relink. These names are terrible, but anyway,
Out. They're regionalized for us, right?
I think so. Idea? I don't know. It makes sense over there. It makes no sense here, but there it is. And that's part of a long running series that was also on mobile and stuff. This is their first like big full blown, just pay for the game and play a big epic RPG. And it is beautiful and awesome. So we've been playing that. And I forgot to bring it down here, but I also picked up a PlayStation Portal.
Wait. You was going to use it. Didn't even put that in the notes here.
I know.
You got a PlayStation.
I know. I completely forgot to tell you. So I picked that up I got a really good deal on one. Got it in. I'm like, you know what? I really want to try that thing. See how that thing stacks up. And I'll say this. It is very good at what it does. And what it does is this one thing, which is remote play of your PlayStation 5. That's its job. It doesn't load up software on itself other than firmware and things. It doesn't do any of that. This isn't a device, at least unhacked anyway, that will do a bunch of retro whatever. This is a game. This is a device that is meant to mirror
your PlayStation. Congratulations, you turned your PlayStation 5 into a Wii U.
Kind of, yeah. the advantage here, though, so far is that the latency is nothing. Like, I'm sure it's there, but I don't sense it at all. And previous to this, I had done the same process with a phone and a backbone. I did the same process with my Steam Deck, a couple other things just to try and test. None of them had the lack of latency this does. This is really good.
I've never been terribly impressed with Steam Link or anything that has spawned from that kind of thing. I've never been terribly impressed with that. And I should be, because it should be amazing. I've been more impressed with cloud gaming than I have Steam Link and different things. I'm not saying it doesn't have its place. I'm just saying I've just never been terribly impressed.
It's just the latency is not what they promise, or not what they promise. It's not what it should be to be as good as it should
be. Noticeable.
And that's what I think is great about this, is this thing has no noticeable input lag. I don't notice any.
Right.
In fact, I forget that I'm playing remotely sometimes, and I think, well, I shouldn't turn this off. I'm just turning off this thing, not the device. Mm-hmm. I forget that it's just mirroring this thing. It's very good at what it does. The battery life lasts forever. And I played way too late last night. Oh, to bring this back home. So all of these other games I'm playing, I'm getting super into them, and I come all the way around and end up playing, Unicorn Overlord, which we talked about last week.
Went back to that.
That game is so good. And it is right connected to the Fire Emblems of the world and the Advance Wars of the world and all of those like turn-based, strategy-based JRPGs. This is like a modern and really good one of those. It's very good. Highly recommend.
And if you're watching, I re-up my Crunchyroll. That's the free watch anime for the most part. And I can watch Dragon Ball. And every commercial I have, because I had commercials, I didn't do the extra premium service or whatever. I just did the commercial ones. Everything is Wick Donald's. If you're not familiar with, if you haven't seen the Wick Donald's commercials and the sauce they're pimping out.
It sucks. It's bad. Don't like
it. By the way, they've really tempted me. There's always five commercials in between when I'm watching these shows. And it's always like three Wick Donald's. One I'm having trouble remembering. And then that unicorn thing you just kept mentioning. That's the five commercials.
Unicorn Overlord, baby. Commercial. Yeah.
Yeah. The Unicorn Overlord. So I'm like, constant reminder.
It's also on Switch, I should say. So I got it on PlayStation because it's not currently on PC. My goal is I wanted to play it somewhere kind of portable. Now I can do that with the Portal, but it's not on PC yet. VanillaWare has, I did a little digging on this because some people were poking me about it. And apparently the developer, VanillaWare, who people love, are hesitant to bring things to PC because they don't like the modding hacking scene. And they worry about that. So if you're pro modding, bad news. If you're anti-modding, I guess. Good news. I don't know.
Who's anti? Well, I guess the developers who want the control, right?
I guess they want
full
control.
Not even the developers, probably the distributors are probably more concerned about it than.
But there's plenty of games out there that you can't mod that are still on PC. It feels like a weird excuse. You could make it so that people don't mod your game. You know,
plenty. There's anti-cheats. And so if you do mod something, I mean, it is like anything else. Once the genie's out of the bottle, it doesn't matter. It's going to, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's good, though. It's real good. That Portal's good. And what I'm saying is, this is my definitive review. Ready, everybody? The PlayStation Portal 100% delivers on what it says it does. I do not want to overstate it, because there's a ton of things it doesn't do that other devices do. Like, it doesn't do what my Steam Deck does, which is let me install games locally, emulate a bunch of crap, do all these other things. It doesn't have any of that. That's not what this is. This thing is one job, and its job is to do remote play without any lag, and it does it, and it's great.
Price around $300. What was it again?
$299. Yeah, generally, I got it for about $100 off that for the deal I got. So
yeah, that's about the only. That's what I've been waiting for, a deal. Why didn't you tell me you found a deal?
Well, it was a deal with an individual. It wasn't like a store or something.
Oh, okay, $300 is just. That's just the. It's like, no, that's just a little too close to getting the low end Steam Deck for me. You need to make that about $200. It needs to fit somewhere. That $200 is where I'm willing to spend. Mm-hmm. And when it drops to that price, I'll probably pick one up.
I think you're paying a lot for it's got all the DualSense stuff built into it, just like the controller does.
Yeah.
So I think you're paying a lot more for that.
Absolutely.
The screen's very nice, though. I was worried about it because I have the OLED Steam Deck, and I really like that screen. And I was like, well, is this going to be a real step down? Because it is LED LED? Yeah.
Is it OLED?
LED. Yeah, it's LED. It's not OLED.
This is LED. Okay.
The Portal. And I fired it up, and it's
fine.
Super bright and brilliant and looks fine. No problem.
Anything better than that inside walking around, you're sitting on the shitter? I mean, do you really need anything better?
You don't really need it, but I will say that once you use the OLED Steam Deck, it's a little hard to go back to other displays.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's really nice, it'd be great if the Portal had an OLED screen, but it doesn't, and it's still a very nice LED screen. Looks awesome.
But I'm not willing to spend the extra money for it, though.
No.
That's the problem.
No, me neither. Like, that's the thing. I'm already paying, you're paying a premium because, A, it's a Sony thing, and you just pay a premium. But also, you know, you're paying for that DualSense controller stuff, and it's just like the controllers in its fidelity. You can feel your footsteps, you can... You know, feel resistance on the triggers when you're pulling bows back, stuff like that. It's all built into it. The only thing that's weird about it is it doesn't have, you know, the touchpad button in the middle of your PlayStation 4 and 5 controllers. They don't have that. You have to tap the screen to do that. It's a little weird because there's no button for that. So there's a few things you have to kind of get around. But for the most part, it's kind of one for one. And I don't know. I was real not skeptical. Well, I guess I was skeptical. I was skeptical before I got it because I just didn't. I have been less than impressed with even local streaming solutions, let alone cloud stuff.
Yeah.
It's just not quite where I want it. This is the best I've seen. It's really good. And it's just running on my stupid Wi-Fi network. Like, we're not even doing anything fancy here.
Not even plugged in. Yeah, nice.
So it's real good. I like it. Okay. Brian, what'd you get up to this week? Do anything fun?
I did a couple of fun things, but mostly I've been watching and being very, interested in the future of a couple of little technologies that have been I've kind of been watching. One of them was mentioned in our by Ewan 2 on the Discord server.
Yeah,
that's on our Frog Pants Play Retro channel.
Right.
Mentioned the Insignia. This the Xbox Live thing they've been working on. It's a third party thing they've been working on to try to get these Xboxes that used to connect to Live.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember Xbox Live, right? 2002, 2010. It was around for a while. It was a pretty big deal. So they're bringing back the connectivity, online connectivity for Halo 2 for your Xbox.
Mm.
And that's happening today on the 15th, March the 15th. They're bringing those servers online so you can connect your old Xboxes and play some Halo 2 online with some folks.
Yep.
Exciting. Yeah. There's other ways to do that too. But this is the most purest way to do it, right?
Well, the pure way is probably played two. I mean, you can play two on the Master Chief Collection online right now on Game Pass and not even pay for it. Like,
bah.
That's probably the purest way if you're talking about purity.
No, this one. You just plug up your Xbox, man. You plug it up to the network and you just. You got your real Xbox, baby.
I get it. But I mean, in this middle bit, the part that's emulating live, I mean, that's just emulation. They're not like running the thing, are they?
Got servers?
Yeah, but they're not like the they're not the Microsoft Xbox servers.
Oh no, they're not going to be Microsoft servers. No, those are gone. Those are long gone. 2002, 2010. Microsoft said goodbye. 8 years is long enough.
Yeah, they got to fake it.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
They got to fake it. Here are the options or the modes you can play: Rumble Pit, Double Team, Team Slayer, Team Skirmish, Team Training, Team Snipers, Team Hardcore, Team SWAT, and Big Team Battle, and of course the H2 Challenge. These are all if you played a lot of Halo 2, these all make sense. So
yeah. And you're going to want to get in there as soon as possible because, you know, people got very excited about it. They've been promising it for a while, but they really started ramping up about a year ago. And so now all this stuff is coming online. They're adding more things. It's pretty exciting right now. I better get on while people are still playing it. Anyway, as well as we know that that Yuzu Switch emulation, you heard about that, right? That kerfuffle where they had to pay like $2 million plus to the settlement to Nintendo.
Well, the 2.4 million was the settlement because Nintendo was going to sue them out of existence, and they said, "All right, fine, we'll pay it. Here, have the money." Yeah. Oh, they're gone.
They kind of did, but they were going to sue them to the point they had to go to jail, right?
The settlement includes they had to shut everything down. They're going to be done.
Yeah. So we're like, oh no, it's like, oh, they took it down. And I was like, hey, everybody, settle down, shut up. This code's already out there. It's open source. Guess what? It's back, baby. Well, it's mostly back. They're working on making it back, baby. Not the same people, but some other people being a little more careful, a little more lawyerly. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, they're just not, they're not making a for profit thing. The problem is that the Yuzu guys were making upwards of $33,000 a month on their Patreon alone.
Right.
That's a for-profit endeavor. That is not game preservation. I think Nintendo had a case. There are plenty of other emulation projects that Nintendo doesn't touch. They don't go near them.
Yeah.
Why? Because they've skirted the legalities. These guys were stupid. They're stupid. What did they think
stupid
Nintendo
like
would
a
do?
Fox.
Well, the minute you start bringing in $30,000 in money per month.
Right.
And you saw a spike in it when Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom came out.
Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah.
What do you think Nintendo's going to do? Sit there and go, oh, well, that's fine. Of course not.
But it's on its way back. The code is out there. The genie's out of the bottle. We knew it had to come back as something, and it has. It's come back as something called Sue You. Clever. Sue You. But yeah, keep your eyes open for that project to find its way back. And you know, there'll probably be more hoops to jump through like there was with the Yuzu. You had to do all kinds of crazy crap, like you had to either 3D print a little clip so that you could put it in the Switch so you could get it to boot into a mode so you could get codes and you could feed that into a code generator thingy. And it was a lot of steps anyway. I've tried doing it before and it was a big pain in the ass. And I'm like,
I thought the bigger one was Ryu Jinx anyway. Aren't they bigger? They were bigger than Yuzu, I think.
And
they haven't gone after them. So you even have other alternatives out there that aren't Suyu or Yuzu or any of those. There's others working on stuff.
But they nature will find a way. And so if you were disappointed for a minute that you wouldn't be able to play your Switch emulation on your Steam Deck, it'll be back.
Yeah. You watch. It's coming back.
Just wait
baby.
And see. Sue you, baby.
Yeah. I love that they call it that. Suyu. It's spelled just like Yuzu, but they swapped out the S or the Y with an S.
Yes.
All right. Let's get to our main topic today. Let's have some tribute for a great game and a great creator and talk about this.
Shall we play a game?
Indeed, we're going to play a game many of you have heard of from the 1990s on the Super Nintendo called a Chrono Trigger. This is considered by many people I know personally and otherwise the greatest JRPG of all time.
Yeah. Maybe even one of the best games ever made. I've heard people say that too. Sure. I'm like, ho, settle down, fella.
Yeah.
Let me check it out. And I've been told for probably close to more than probably at least a decade, people constantly telling me, oh, you got to play Chrono Trigger. And I'm like, I played Chrono Trigger for 5 minutes. Looks like every other freaking JRPG game I've played. I never gave it a chance.
Yep.
That's my bad. I'm here to report. I enjoyed myself this week.
Yeah.
Chrono Trigger
It's
deserves
good.
It.
I prefer it over all. I like Final Fantasy VI quite a bit, but I or three yeah. here in Japan. It was six, and now it's six. But anyway, I prefer this over all of them. I'd rather play this.
Yeah.
This is a
That's
good
because
game.
It takes away a lot of the BS that me and Scott don't like those random encounters we don't like. There's very few things that are forced upon you as far as battles go. There are a few. Whereas it's progressive, you got to get through the story. So some things you have to do.
Yeah, some of the plot
for the most part you can decide.
Yeah, some of the plot won't move forward until you move it forward by fighting because you have to or whatever. And you need to level up. You don't want to grind a lot. So it helps that the actual combat is also really fun. It's good. It's really well done turn-based combat. Now, what I want out of and there's rumors to this effect. None of it's been confirmed. But what I want is for Square to now that they've done their this thing they've done with Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth. Mm-hmm. Those are amazing. Incredibly well done. Do that with this, man. Get this out.
Kind of forgotten about. I mean, besides the people who already love it, people kind of forgotten about Chrono Trigger.
I don't think gamers have. I think they've felt because it's gone languished for so long. If you don't count Chrono Cross, which was technically a follow up for the PlayStation.
Right.
It's not the same game, though, and a lot of people are disappointed with it for the direction it took. Mm-hmm. But if you, what I think happened is Square has just let it languish for so long and said nothing that I think people are like, well, it's never going to happen, so I'm just not going to think about it. I don't think people have forgotten. I think they've just given up on their chances, and that may change soon. So that would be awesome if it did. I would play
Wouldn't it be great if it got the Play Retro effect where like 2 weeks from now,
that would be all. Yeah, it'd be us. They get out in front of everybody and go, "We have very important announcement to make here at Squaresoft.
After the recent episode of Play Retro, we have decided."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first we were working on NFTs and crypto shit, but now, now it's this Chrono Trigger remake, maybe call it rebake.
Oh, I like a rebake. Yeah. Or Back to the Future. How about that?
Yeah, I like Chrono Trigger,
Back to the Future.
Here's some audio from this game. I should say one of the things about it that's renowned is the soundtrack is considered one of the great soundtracks of game history.
Killed the composer. Did you know about this story?
No, tell me this story. What is it about?
Right. There's so much trivia about this game, but this one I found interesting. The music composition was created by apologies for murdering here, but Yasun Ori Mitsuda.
I think you got it.
He threatened to leave, according to GameFAQs on GameSpot. By the way, I love GameFAQs on GameSpot. According to them, he threatened to leave Square due to low pay if he could not compose the music. So that's when they said, okay, well, I'll tell you what, we'll give you Chrono Trigger. So he's like, okay, he slept in the studio, Mitsuda. Slept in the studio for several nights trying to finish the soundtrack. A computer hard drive crash caused some of the music data to be lost. No!
Oh, boy.
Guess what? He developed stomach ulcers from being overworked and had to be hospitalized.
Jeez.
And then he had to have another composer step in and help finish the music. Nearly killed the guy. Nearly killed him. But it sounds amazing. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, it's an amazing soundtrack. So I guess, yay, overworked bad policies? I don't know.
Look, we dislike in America that we didn't invent overworking for game developers.
Crunch time in Japan is a national.
They've been underpaying and overworking people, having them sleep, and it sounds like so much fun. As a gamer, you're like, oh, doesn't that sound like fun? Working on a game, being so impassioned with it that you sleep overnight. That's a horrible idea.
If I'd have been 18, 19, 20, sure. I do not want that now. I can tell you that. Like, I'm really glad. I'm really glad crunch culture is not only getting sunlight, but also getting, there's changes happening in the industry, I think, overall. And that's good. There's still some pretty big, broad examples of it not going away yet. Like this Final Crunch GTA 6 is currently going under. There's a lot of talk about how that's kind of a mess. So you still see it. But back in the day and in Japan in general, they don't think of it like we do. They are like,
no.
Yeah, stay as late as you can. And if you screw it up, here is sword, sepulcher. There's some cultural stuff going on there, according to my Japanese friend Ken. He says it's just very different, and we would not recognize it if we went and worked there for a game studio. It's just a different animal.
Yes.
Different world. Animal
completely. Yep.
That sounded like I said, I even have a Japanese friend. That just didn't sound right. Anyway,
right,
moving on.
I have one of my best friends is a Japanese.
Is a Japanese. Chrono Trigger 95 is when this came out. And it was published and developed by Square. I don't know that. Were they Square Enix yet? I think they hadn't merged yet. Maybe.
I don't think they were Enix. I think they were it had Square Software, but that was a Japanese commercial. I'm not sure exactly what their title was there, but Enix was not in the title at that
Enix
point,
was still doing, sure. They were still their own company, I believe.
Right.
Making their own games. Well, because Enix did they were the Dragon Quest.
Enix! Hold on. Enix, get in here!
Not Enix. Square Enix would be an amazing name. Enix Games. Let me just look this up real quick because I swear they were there for let's see, list of Enix games. Here we go. They did Org Battle. I knew about that. Or Ogre Battle, not Org. Dragon Quest series. That was their thing. So even though people go, oh, Dragon Quest, that's another Square thing. Well, not really. They inherited that when they bought Enix or when they merged. Now they're Square Enix. Anyway, and what year did that happen?
It was year enough in flux time anyway, because Yuji Horii, who was the creator of Enix's Dragon Quest, which was just talking about, he was that's how this game got its start. There was a couple of years prior to this, a couple of the Japanese developers, they were kind of friends as well, but Akira Toriyama and Square Enix's Yuji Horii and Square's, I don't ever have to say this, the guy's name, but Hironobu Sakaguchi.
I think you're getting them fine. Me. You're doing fine.
I'm doing all right.
But yeah, you're real John Blackthorne in Shogun. You're killing it.
I'm getting better at it, but I'm still, it's horrible. It sounds terrible, but I'm working on it. I'm working. That's the important thing. I care and I'm working on it.
That's right. Better.
But yeah, those guys all were coming to the U.S. look at some, you know, see how graphic stuff was working out here. And so on their trip, they all got together and I thought they were talking about, you know, RPGs and some of the things that they would love to see. And one of the things they discussed was, you know, maybe something with a time mechanic. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get the whole Chrono Trigger came into play here, where it's just, you know, it is a JRPG with time mechanics. And it's a lot of fun because you don't have to be locked into just, you know, the time period. Most of them, you know, it all existed at one time. It's either like, you know, feudal Japan or, you know, it's all sci-fi. But in Chrono Trigger, you get to travel around. You get to explore all these great ideas of, you know, the sci-fi future, you know, feudal past, you know, modern times. You get to explore, and it takes it in really fun directions that I didn't know I was going to enjoy. And it's such a tight package. Everything about this game is like, this is the peak of this era.
Yeah, yeah, very right? Good. The pacing. We talked about pacing in pre-show and how much I like good pacing. This game has amazing pacing and, a lot of games, a lot of its contemporaries were not great at pacing, which is why this one stood out. Now, I say all that and will now admit that I've never beat it. I've never finished this game, and I've started it, I don't know, five times.
It's not a really long game either. I got a pretty good ways this week. I was kind of surprised how far I got.
Yeah, these old SNES games, we used to think they were huge, but they're, you know, relatively speaking, they're not that big.
It all had to fit on a cart. So originally they were developing this game for a CD format because we were still in a time that the SNES was planned to get the CD.
Yeah.
And it was a little add-on that we're going to do. And then they said, nope, forget it. So they had to pivot. The dream team making the dream game had to pivot and create something that would fit in a cart, which was actually a good thing because it did kept it tight. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, going all out with, you know, multimedia and music, which would have sounded better probably, but not a whole lot better.
Yeah, that's true.
And probably giving you a lot more options and things, but that's fine. I think what we have here is just about perfect.
Yeah, I agree. I'll give you a little timeline here for my thing I was talking about earlier. Square and Enix joined forces. I thought it was much earlier, but it was April Fool's Day, 2003. 2003! That feels like that
April Fool's
long ago. I guess
we're getting together.
21 years ago, but still doesn't feel like
it. Yeah, it's 21. It's just a short 21 years ago. In Chrono years, that's pretty short.
It's not bad.
We were jumping centuries, so not bad.
Not bad at all. But as far as I'm concerned, like I say, my favorite Square game. Up until a point, like modern Square games, I don't know if this is controversial or not, but I think Nier Automata is my favorite.
Oh, interesting.
Have you played the Nier games? The Niers are amazing. Nier games. You not played those?
I I remember being very excited, and I remember starting to play, and I don't remember why I stopped. So I don't remember very much about it, because I do remember installing it, playing a little bit into it, and something stopped me, but I can't remember what it was.
I never played Replicant was the first one. Anyway, Replicant? Japan only. You couldn't get it here. Now there's a new version of it here that's been remastered for, you know, whatever. It's a prequel, but for me, it's Nier Automata is my favorite 2017 game. So it doesn't even, it's not even that old. It's fantastic. The original game was called just Nier. That was in 2010. That was remade into Nier Replicant. From what I've heard, there are some problems with it.
Like Nier, that's the N-E-I-R, right? Is that
N-I-E-R. N-I-E-R.
Okay, all right. Yeah. N-I-E-R. Okay.
They're really good. Nier. Robots and cool stuff and big wastelands. Shit I like. Things I'm into.
Yeah, I'm trying to go back and see what... Oh, I think... Was this the time when I was like... I was doing this and playing the latest Devil May Cry? And let me see. I'm trying to see some screenshots of what I thought about it.
2017 was a big deal, man. A lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people didn't like it because they thought it was too sparse. But that's part of what I liked about it. I liked that.
Yeah,
apocalyptic kind of everything's wrecked vibe.
Wrecked.
And all that's left are a few animals, giant, you know, stupid robots that don't know why they're there. And then you're these androids that have to figure out your place and why you are who you are. And some amazing boss battles. I mean, some really cool stuff in that game.
Oh, man, we could not have picked a better time to do a Square Enix or a Square game, because right now on Steam, they're doing the Square Enix publisher sale. And if you are interested in Nier Automata, it is only $15.99, 60% near.
Did you call Nier? It Nier? I like Nier. No, I like it.
Nier.
Oh, yeah. Look Pants at that.
Fire.
This is part of the spring sales. There's a sale for tons of stuff. But yeah, I didn't realize they were doing their own thing in there. That's cool.
Yeah, got some Final Fantasy. Look at that. Was that a 7? Look at that. Yeah, look at all this stuff on sale. Ooh, Core. Look at that. Life is Strange. Yeah, I forgot about that. Now, Life is Strange, that feels very much like Chrono Trigger, right? A little bit of traveling there.
No, it's mostly that thing's like a point and click adventure. It's not really. It's very Western.
It's very Westernized. But you can get look at this. Chrono Trigger is on sale for $7.50, as well as Legend of Mana, which we did not that long ago, $14.99. So we got some good deals going on.
Dragon Ball games on sale today.
Chrono Cross. I don't have that one yet. Picking it up, $9.99.
Super Dragon Ball Heroes. Never heard of it. $5 right now. Usually $59. Let's see.
We don't get any money for shilling this, by the way. We just love it.
No, we just like it. We like sales. Sales are cool. Let's see. I'm trying to find some more stuff that's interesting. The Xenoverse game's way cheap. Yeah, it looks like there's some stuff. You can go out there and save some cash.
Yeah.
Part of the Steam spring sale.
You can save money by spending money. Do it.
Do it. Yeah, spend money. We promise you've saved money if you spend it. Okay?
Right.
That's how we know.
But in Chrono Trigger, I really felt like some things I didn't realize. So it starts out, I had said I'd played the game before, and I had, like, the first little bit. And it's always the same deal, right? I played it on the SNES. I played the SNES version, which just starts up like any other JRPG, and your character's waking up. It's like, Chrono, wake up. And your mom's there, and she's like, get up. And you're like in bed, and you get up, and you
they all start this room. Way. This is such a
trope. They all start like this. Yeah. You explore your little room there. Maybe you got some safe spot or something. Who knows? And then you walk downstairs. Your mom gives you a little thing. Oh, you're very excited about the big event, the big festival today, aren't you? And of course, this is total JRPG stuff. And it's like, okay, yeah, cool. And then you go outside, and you try to find your friend. And that's where it always starts. And this game follows that perfectly. You start in a fair and you go up there and you're looking for your friend, and they're setting up a project. In the meantime, you get to walk around and learn a couple of things, maybe do some training for fighting. And then you end up going up to where your friend is at, and they've made a fly. So you've seen the movie The Fly, where Jeff Goldblum gets teleported from one pad to another, but then a fly gets involved and he turns into a monster. Well, same thing here, except instead of a fly, there's a pendant, and another person you ran into has the pendant. Oh, rips a hole in the space-time continuum, and hello, everything changes from there. It's suddenly not like every other JRPG game I played, and I dug it. Yeah. Once I got past that, first 30 minutes or something?
First 30 is very tropey. Once you get past that, things really open up, and it's very good after that. And whatever, like I said, every JRPG I've ever played features a young, misunderstood, grumpy kid who just doesn't really have, he's not a hero. Can he be one, though? Well, let's find out. He's going to be thrust into a story where his hero ship will have to shine. You know, it's always the same.
That's right. It's Chrono. He's the silent protagonist. That was an argument, too, because some of the development team wanted him to be a talkie-talkie. And some others were like, no, you never want your protagonist, the person that you're putting your player's embodiment into. You don't want to name him. Mm-hmm. And I don't care one way or the other, but that was a debate.
Well, you can change his name, but he does, you know. He doesn't.
Yeah, he starts as Chrono.
He just talks.
But he doesn't say anything. It's important. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't go. He doesn't have a personality of his own.
Do you know what I named him for my playthrough this week?
What'd you name him?
TYRD. That's short for turd.
Of course you did.
I do that all the time. So, TYRD never gets blocked from anything. If I put turd, sometimes they do. Old games don't care, but newer games are like, oh, you can't say that word.
Why can't you name your character turd? That's ridiculous.
Oh, there's tons of games that do that. They won't let you. They're like, oh, we've deemed your word not appropriate. Please choose another. That happens all the time.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I left mine as Chrono, and then I left all the others. So we run across the princess who you run into at the fair. Her name is Marl. I say Marl. Maybe it's Marley, but it's spelled, you know, it looks like Marl to me. Mm. And then your friend who's an inventor, that's Luca. And you can name any of these people. And I definitely did not change Frog's name. No,
because his name is Frog.
Yeah, his name is Frog. It's the default. He's a knight with water magic. His name is Frog. You name him Frog.
He's a little frog. I mean, look at him right here in this video, Chad. Look at him with his sword. Look at that frog.
He's my favorite, by the way, out of all the character designs that was taken from. Still can't believe he died. This sucks so much. But yeah.
It does suck.
Toriyama. He didn't do all of the sprite work, but he did do the original illustrations that everybody was
everyone's
inspired
based on,
by. Mm-hmm. And that was his character was the frog. And man, I love Frog, a knight with water magic. He's kind of got the best attitude.
No, Frog's an amazing character. Are you kidding me? I used to think Robo was the bomb. I kind of like Robot, but I prefer
robots are good.
I prefer Frog. Frog's the one.
Yeah, I don't care nothing about no Ale or whatever their name is, that prehistoric chief with brute strength, whatever.
Ayla, I think is her name. Or his
Ayla,
name.
Is how you say it.
And then what about Magnus? Magus? Magus?
The bad butthole of the whole story. Magus.
I kind of like Magus. I'm into the dark broody type.
He's a good bad guy, right? Mm-hmm. I like that.
There have been a lot of games since who are inspired by this game. Most recently, Sea of Stars is very much a homage, tribute, or whatever you want to call it, to this game. And if you haven't played that, it was up for a ton of awards last year for a reason. It's a fantastic game. It's new, but it's a throwback, and it's a throwback to almost everything that made this game great, including non-forced random encounters where you don't see who's coming. They don't do any of that. They do just like this, and it's great. Play Sea of Stars, also an amazing soundtrack, and I think they had someone help with the music. It may not have been the main guy. Anyway, somebody who helped with music on Chrono Trigger also helped on Sea of Stars.
There was a Games Radar article that I read where the Chrono Trigger guys were all like, oh, Sea of Stars is so good. It looks so good. It's going to be so great. And so, there's some connective tissue there. So if you're looking for a game to play that might give you some Chrono Trigger vibes, there you go.
Oh, there it is. Yasunori Masuda. It's the same dude.
Did the
music for Sea of Stars. Highly, highly recommend that. Big thumbs up game. Sea of Stars is rad. Sea of Stars is as if you made a game like this in the 90s, but you had way better computers. And way more, you could do whatever you wanted. That's what that game is.
Right.
It's really good.
I watched some really good documentaries on this. There's so much information about Chrono Trigger on YouTube, on the internet, and it gets deep. That was one of the problems I had. I couldn't find like a high level discussion about Chrono Trigger because everybody that was talking about it was getting really deep into the weeds, and it's like, let's talk about the lore. And I'm like, oh, it's a 12-hour game, settle down now. And it's like, let's talk about each, how everything, let's talk about all the different cultural references that were piled in here and where they stole them from and where they came from and all that. I was like, that's one high level look. And but there's a lot of great stuff out there for that, and a lot of great interviews
You will never be short of fandom for Chrono Trigger.
No.
Ever.
No.
People freaking love this game. That's why I think it makes perfect sense to make a remake or something. Even if they just remaster it, like the pixel remasters for the Final Fantasy series, those are really well thought of and retain the sprites and the kind of sensibilities of the original. They add things like auto battling and a few other things to make it simpler. But for the most part, those are really highly regarded. So why not give either Chrono Trigger that treatment or give it the full FF7 remake stuff? I would play it either way. I'd be all into it.
So easy to do the auto battle. I played a lot of this. I fired up on my SNES Mini, by the way. I dumped it over there. It's not on there by default, which I was terribly disappointed to see whenever I was like, oh, I bet Chrono Trigger's on my
SNES Mini. That's not on there. You're right. It's not.
And I was like, no, it's not on here. So I sideloaded it. I played a little bit there. I do like that it's a little more straightforward. But I ended up mostly playing it because it was convenient to play it on my Steam Deck in the bed. Yeah. And man, the auto battling stuff is so great. In my case, I think it's the Y button, it's the top button on the face buttons. And I just hit that thing and I do the auto battle. If it's a serious battle, then I have to get hands on. You know, I have to get in there and do my little combos and matchups and everything. And but for the most part, the auto battling, I mean, just do that. If you're getting low on health and your character has potions, they'll heal themselves up. And that was a really good experience. And that was on Steam Deck. Purchased it on Steam, which is a derivative of the PlayStation DS versions.
Right.
But yeah, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with that. I played way later.
I know what I was thinking. By the way, I know what I was thinking on the SNES Mini. What was on there? It was Secret of Mana is on there. And I always think my brain always goes to Chrono Trigger for some reason.
Same. I thought the same thing. I said, oh yes, on there. And I was like, no, it was Secret of Mana. And that's how I played that.
Which also rocks, by the way. Yeah. We talked about it.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Deserved all the praise we gave it. That one's also getting some remake love and some new game love coming up soon.
Yes.
Anyway,
What's your favorite era when you were playing Chrono Trigger? I gotta say, I really kind of like the past stuff. I thought I was gonna really like the future stuff, but was kind of a bummer.
The only good one is SNES. The only good one is the Super Nintendo game, and I stand by that. The PS1 remake of the game or the port of it, is terrible.
Right,
it's not good.
I was talking about time eras in the game itself.
There's prehistoric.
There's prehistoric. There's kind of like Castle Age, prehistoric. There's future. I thought I was going to like the future stuff. When I got to the future, everybody was a big old fat bummer.
Everybody's a bummer, but I do like those sequences. I'm probably partial to the future stuff.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I thought you might be.
And also, so anytime Frog, and when Frog's with me.
Yeah, Frogs. Yeah. As soon as I got Frog, I was like, yeah, things have just gotten better.
Yeah. You're on this team forever, buddy. Never leaving. Yeah. Never die. Never not be here. But Chrono Trigger, speaking of which, for the PlayStation, here's my biggest problem with any of the ports that happen for most of the Square stuff. New games, great. Final Fantasy VII, amazing on PlayStation. And like, you know, that was clearly a big jump forward for a lot of PlayStation stuff. 7, 8, and 9 all did real well there. Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI, and there's a third one I can't think of that all got ported. They're bad. They're just bad ports. That PS1 port is freaking bad. The load times are bad and long. They changed some interface stuff that just looks ugly. They thought they were modernizing it. That just was a step backwards. The DS version of the game is very good. Oh, someone in the chat just brought that up. Yeah, the DS remake is very good. Probably the one you should try to find if you are looking for like the cart. I think that's the one if you're talking about a handheld. But these days, if someone asked me which one should I play, I'd just say emulate the SNES one. That's what I would do.
I would say emulate the SNES one was great because all the ports, like you said. So the load times was the biggest hit that this game takes because the developers luckily were able to skirt that load time because they were originally making this for the SNES. And so they were able to do something they wanted to do, which was to make these really smooth transitions between fights, you know, or to any time you enter into a city or anything like that. So those are very smooth on anything like PlayStation, anything going forward, because everything was based on that port going forward, has those load times, including A little bit's there in the Steam version. It's a little faster. The PlayStation, definitely. So if you're going to emulate that one, that one's definitely going to have load times. Even when you're emulating, you can do the double speed on the CD.
Also, isn't and the still, Steam the Steam version is just slow. The PS1 one ported, isn't it? I think it's supposed to be, I
saw some differing opinions on what it was supposed to be, but I'm assuming it's the PlayStation one, but some people are saying it's similar to the DS version. I'm like, I think this looks more like the PlayStation version I looked at, because you can actually play that online. There's like, if you go online, there's emulators that will emulate PlayStation 1 as well as the SNES. You can play that right there on archive.org.
Those are available. The PlayStation 1 just was so... I don't know, man. Whatever. It was a new console, new tech. Load times were now going to be worse than they'd ever been because now we're into optical. You can, you know, I finally look back on some, or I used to make so much fun of Nintendo and say,
yeah,
you guys with your N64, you were just so convinced that everybody was going to stick with cartridges and the CD thing was going to be a weird fad and you weren't going to buy that. In the end, I think they're kind of right. Like, PlayStation 1 load times were terrible. So were Saturn. So were anything optical.
Oh, God, Saturn.
And even up till recent, they've been bad.
Yeah.
Like N64 carts, bam, smack, boom, bam, you're in, you're over, you're done. Mm-hmm. You move on to the next thing. It's not waiting around for stuff. Did you lose a little fidelity on music? Sure. Did you miss out on some possible size limitations? Maybe. But I don't know. I kind of owe them apologies for the N64 decision because I thought they were dumb at the time. I'm not so sure.
I think it was the reasoning for why they weren't doing it was lame. The actuality and the reality of it ended up being pretty good. Because when we try to emulate these things, some of this code, sometimes you would have to hard code so that you would have delays. And so in order to emulate something, now you still have to have load times, even though you don't have optical drives. Mm-hmm. And so, but that code is written in such a way that you'd have to basically rewrite the code to make it work without that load time. So, hey, kind of stuck in. But what I did love, though, I do really love the animated cutscenes, the whole little movie beforehand, man. That is so much fun.
Especially then, it was like, whoa, we're getting like all this. We're basically getting an animated series with this thing.
Yeah.
But the load times.
Is this Dragon Ball Z? What am I watching right now?
The load times between them were atrocious, though. So bad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I kind of would be pissed. I'd be like, okay, that was cool, but you're going to wait a minute and a half now to get back to the game? Like, ugh.
Yeah.
I hated that.
And they really didn't make, like, the PlayStation version, it really didn't, you know, you got your animated cutscenes, which was cool. Loading times, bad. Sound quality, it's about the same, which is disappointing because, I mean, really, CD quality music could really just outshine the SNES if you really wanted to. But the music was already so great. How could you really improve upon it?
Well, plus they, you know, it's a huge expense. And if they didn't think it was worth it, I could see them not doing it.
And, but you did also get, you get the bestiary, which is good because I swear when I'm playing this game, I'm like, oh, what freaking creature was that? Because everything's weird, you know, is all of that stuff. It's like, what creature is that thing? Is kind of shaped like, but what is that? Is that a frog? I think it's a frog. Maybe not. Mm. It's like, is that a tree stump? Am I fighting a tree stump? So it'd be really good to have a bestiary so you can understand a little better. It has art gallery. That's good for me and you, but who really cares? And some extra music and stuff. And you can go back and kind of skip around and look at, you know, the different anime cutscenes.
I mean, the art gallery is cool because if you were a Toriyama fan, you get to see, you know, some concept art and that sort of thing.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it's all right. But like you said, it was kind of a straight over port in a lot of ways. Yeah, and the graphics, slower load times just made me crazy.
Graphics only just a slightly bit better, maybe at a higher resolution, but not really enough to make you...
I mean, you jumped from what? Standard resolution to...
Yeah.
What? Was that 240 to 480? It's really not so much, man. I guess it's double, but double back then wasn't a lot.
I mean, it was already pixel art, and it was going from pixel art to pixel art, and, you know, just there was some problems there, too, because then you have to worry about, you know, how do you dither this thing, and how do you... you know, bring these pixels forward. So unless you redo all the sprites, so that is fine. But I will say this, the PlayStation version of Chrono Trigger is part of the Final Fantasy Chronicles. So it was a compilation disc that had Final Fantasy four. Final Fantasy four, do my Roman numeral calculations. Final Fantasy IV and Chrono Trigger on the same CD. And if you were to be forced to play real hardware, you can get this one at probably the most reasonable price. Everything else is going to be $100 plus if you get the SNES version, the DS version, but you can find copies of the PlayStation, the Final Fantasy Chronicles.
Yeah, so enjoy this. Enjoy your shitty load times. 40. You paid a lot less money for it, so
right.
Fun.
But you have the real hardware, so that's something to say. Something to say for that.
Amarillion in the chat makes a good point. One of the best examples of load times on this PlayStation 1 was Konami's Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I agree.
Oh yeah,
you didn't even notice them because it was they kind of made it part of the game. That was really good.
Yeah.
When are we doing that game? Smart. We got to do that at some point.
Oh, we got to. We got to. We did one of them. Did we do Symphony? No, we didn't do
Symphony. We didn't do Symphony of the Night, did we?
We did Castlevania. We might have mentioned it as part of something else, but I don't think we did a.
I don't think we've done Castlevania at all yet. Have we?
I thought we did.
Or did we do like Castlevania Metroid sort of back and forth on both of those things? The Metroidvania thing.
I'm pretty sure we did some very. Because that's what we was doing. We was doing a Metroidvania. And yeah, I think we kind of combined it.
We probably just skimmed over it. I think Symphony of the Night deserves. Like
a full episode. Yeah. We know what we're doing now, people.
Yeah, we know what we're up to now.
We know what the show is.
If you wanted to hang around and play something else, Chrono Trigger related, you'd have to wait a very long time, and then you would get a game called Chrono Cross. And Chrono Cross had a lot of people very excited about it. It was a PlayStation 1 exclusive at the time. I can get on PC now, I think. And that game is not what people wanted or thought they were getting. So if you were looking for like a direct sequel with these same characters and a continue, you weren't going to get that. You're not even going to get Frog. Frog ain't in there, baby. But if you play it on its own merits, Cross is pretty good. I like it.
Yeah.
It's John Jagger who got me to finally play it. Because he's like, you know what? I know it's controversial, but you should just at least try it. And I did, and I liked it. It's good. I didn't play the whole thing, but I played a fair amount.
The only Chrono Trigger I didn't play was the DS version, and only because I'm a play retro purist. That means that it has to be at least 20 years old for me to play it. I know, it's a stupid rule, but 2008 Nintendo DS, the Chrono Trigger, it had the dual screen utilization, the touch screens.
Sure.
Had some new content, which I'm interested in. I guess that would probably be the definitive answer what that Steam version is. Or is not the DS version, or if it's the PlayStation.
Yeah, but I will say second screen didn't really do much for that game. It wasn't that big a deal.
Oh, we didn't talk about this, but guess what? Guess who's back this week, baby?
Who?
Ted Woosley. The English translator, who's always, we've talked about him many times.
We love that guy. That guy's a weirdo. We love him.
I love that guy. And he's one of the most interesting translators. Worth note. How about that? So he did this with no help from the translation team. Instead, he memorized scenarios and looked at drafts of commercial players' guides to put dialogue in context. And also, they put a 30-day deadline on this thing. Woosley usually had 75-plus days to get stuff done. So they had to do this in half the time and with no help from the translation team and just guessing. And I'll tell you, sometimes it felt like that when I was playing. I was like, it would tell me to do something. And I'm like, that don't make no sense. And I had to figure it out myself. But Ted Woosley, just a phenomenal character.
He was the guy back then, man.
Right.
He was doing all the cool shit.
He was doing all the cool
stuff. Have you tried this Chrono Trigger Flames of Eternity fan-made thing, Crimson Echoes thing, any of that?
I watched a little bit of footage. Mm. It's supposed to be the Crimson Echoes and Flames of Eternity. I think it's supposed to sit between the Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross in the timeline. Yeah. But it's a mod for the game, so it's not like...
It's like a hack ROM or whatever, right?
Yeah. And so they just put some more content in there. I think they use the same character sprites and that stuff. Just put you in some new stories and some new situations. And I haven't looked at it, but it interests me for sure.
Yeah, I kind of want to see that myself. Mm-hmm. I know there's probably video I should go watch, but I haven't done that.
Yeah, that's what I basically did. I watched a little bit, and I'm like, this, since I hadn't finished Chrono Trigger, it's like, oh, well. I guess this could be Chrono Trigger for all I know.
Well, of all the games that we've covered in the 16-bit era, or even Nintendo total. I think this may be one of the biggest, if not the biggest. Yeah. I mean, aside from Nintendo mainstays like your Metroid, your Marios, your Links and your Zeldas and your whatnots, I think that this is right up there. Like,
yeah, this is
notable.
People have recommended this and they were right. I'll go ahead and say it now. Those who have been recommending for years for me to play Chrono Trigger, you're right.
You gonna keep going? You gonna finish that? You gonna finish that biatch? What are you gonna do?
I don't know if I get to finish it right away, but yes, it is on my short list of games that I would like to complete because it just gets deeper and deeper, and I really like it. And I got my Steam Deck, could play it in the bed. It's perfect.
I tell you, I finished Advance Wars 1 again completely, and I'm halfway through 2.
Wow, no. I haven't even went back. Even though I had a ton of fun, I don't know if I was particularly compelled to keep playing.
I couldn't get enough.
I think if I had that recently announced Ambernick clamshell version they're working on.
Yeah.
I think I would play some more. I think Advance Wars on something like that would tickle my fancy. I don't know why.
Mm. I like. Mm. I also played because I talked about it last week, but I also finished the first Fire Emblem again on GBA, and then I started the second one called.
Are you nothing but game, Scott? Because I swear,
Sacred Stones.
I'm a game.
I play in bed a lot. In bed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only way I can do
Kim's it. Kim's like, could you go to sleep already?
Can you go to sleep? I don't want to hear Japanese people screaming at me all night. Because lately I've been playing that Relink game, and they are all, this is true of the Tales games as well, Tales of Arise. The characters it's a group of characters and you're real-time fighting, and they're constantly yelling the moves they're doing. So while you're in the middle of this fight, guys going, Rising Wyvern, Punching Dragon, Chicken Farts, you know, whatever. They're all yelling it constantly until the end of the fight. It's a little annoying and obnoxious, but I kind of like it in a weird way.
I must warn you, there is a little bit of that in Demon Slayer, that whenever they have to use their form, but it's more like you would have seen during the 80s. Now you'd have the recurring thing where it's like, I have the power. Every episode of He-Man.
Or what Thundercats, Thundercats, that whole thing.
Thundercats, go! Yeah, so yeah, it's got a bit of that repeat.
Taz in the chat's like, wait, there is a clamshell Ambernick coming? Yes. Let's see if we can find the model.
Yeah.
Because I heard about
this. Which is right on time for me. Well, I'm sorry. I said Ambernick, but you know what? I got it confused. It's the Miyu.
Oh, is it Miyu? I thought it was Ambernick. No? All right.
They maybe have it one too, but I think the one I heard about was going to be the Miyu.
The Miyu Mini. It's called the Mini Flip. There it is.
Mini Flip.
Here, chat, and you can see the
design. They got a patent image. Yeah.
Yeah, so that is pretty dead on. It's also got a couple of sticks, which is cool, but
this is my favorite.
I think I want this.
I think the Pow Kitty had one, and I think they stopped selling that. There's been a couple of them. It's the same thing. When you see these come out, unfortunately, you got to grab them and pray to the gods that the hinges don't break, because they don't sell these things for long typically, because hinges are hard.
Hinges are very hard. There's a reason why the 3DS evolved into the 2DS single slab thing. There's a reason why Nintendo does a really good job with the hinges, but even then, that was their biggest repair problem that they had to deal with. I never had an SP that didn't close or open the way it was supposed to. It was really durable, but you can't expect that from all these. So I don't know. I hope they get that right. This color scheme on the sample images looks like somebody ran their truck into a cotton candy factory and everything exploded. I'm not sure about that, but
I kind of love hate it, but that's the illustration. So I don't know what the final colors will look like, but yeah, I'm with you. This is Retro Dodo, by the way, where we're looking at great website for retro news. Yeah. And I'm pretty excited, but like I said, if you have one of these people, spitting out one of these clamshell ones, better get it fast and be prepared that it may break. Be prepared that you're going to have to be ginger with it, because they're probably going to sell it for a short time. They're going to cancel it because it's a pain in the ass.
Assume it breaks and just be careful.
Yeah.
Do that.
Just be careful.
You'll be happier if you do. All right, let's move on. That's our look at this beloved game. Now let's see if our brains are any good. All right, we're going to play Guess My Game. And Guess My Game has an intro, which goes like this.
Destroy it.
And what we do here is we play some audio from an old game. We give a couple of hints, and we do. We now do this as multiple choice. And we're going to start today with me and a game that came out on the PC in 2001.
Oh, I watched that movie.
Yeah. Oh, did you? No.
Yeah.
Well, I can't do that, Dave. Or Dave, I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that. So I'm going to play on some audio from this. That's all you're going to get. Don't I play it and then give you the choices, or do I do it before? I don't remember. You see me.
I do a little bit of both. Yeah.
I don't remember what we do.
Yeah, just start playing it, and then you can. And because I see it. Well, you might want to.
Yeah, you're looking at it.
You know what? Play the.
Here, I'll play it.
Play the audio first, and then we'll ask the question. Yeah. What do you think it is?
Here you go.
Oh wow! Is this Advance Wars?
No, it sounds like it though. You'll recognize this soon.
Okay,
you might.
I instantly know what it is.
Okay, but
we'll give it a few seconds for everybody to.
Yeah,
get a
we'll just
to
play. We'll play along. Here are your choices. Yeah. A, Power Slave. B.
Wasn't that a group?
No. It was a game. Power Slave was an album by...
Right. Oh, that's right.
Iron Maiden, I think.
Iron Maiden. That sounds right.
I think it was Iron Maiden. It was the big Egyptian one. Anyway.
Yeah.
Power Slave. Was it B, Quake 2? Was it C, Serious Sam? Or D, Duke Nukem Manhattan Project? Again, Power Slave, Quake 2, Serious Sam, Duke Nukem Manhattan Project. What do you think?
I have no idea what Power Slave is, but I know it's not Quake 2. I ate that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
And I did play some Duke Nukem Manhattan Project, and I definitely don't remember Duke screaming. So it's got to be that weirdo Serious Sam, which I love that game. All of them.
Let's find out if you're right. You are correct. It is Serious Sam. It was the original that came out in 2001. I bought it that week on PC.
Yes.
Again, I had to upgrade something. I don't remember what it was, RAM or some shit.
Yes.
Always, every game that came out in the early aughts, late 90s, I feel like I had to do an upgrade for. But anyway, that game is still great. And the giveaway there is those guys with bombs on their hands.
Screaming with, they come running at you. Oh, I love those things so much. Yeah,
that was great. The brand newish one, 2020 or whatever it was, or whenever it came out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty good. It's still pretty, straightforward, like just blow everything up, but it's fun. I like it.
Yeah, it's just constant. Just imagine constantly shooting crap and everything's just coming at you. And it's just constant mayhem constantly. And I love it so much. Sam, we got to do an episode on Serious Sam because that's such a different take on that type of game.
Well, it is and isn't, right? Because it was also how do I explain it? It was a game that was designed to bring back the old Doom feeling and Quake feeling at a time when we were getting away from that and doing like Call of Duty, the original Call of Duty, or other military style shooters. And I think people were just longing for that arcade arena kind of vibe. And this game definitely brought it, but it was also so weird and over the top. It was also so massive. Crazy. It was like, here are 300 guys at once. No way. Yes. How is that possible?
Yes. Yeah. All these open world environments and all of these just crazy. It's serious. It's very serious.
It's Serious Sam. Enjoy. Mm-hmm. Brian, tell me about yours. What's our platform and day or year?
All right. Hey, you know what? I decided to go back to the PC in 1998, the year that Andrew was born. That's my oldest son. And he just had his own child. So I was thinking, what was I playing in 1998 while holding Andrew with one hand and playing video games with the other? And so that's what you get. PC 1998.
All right, let's hear what we got. I like this music.
Yeah, this music slaps.
Can't tell what they're doing, though.
Right. Well, this is the menu screen.
Oh,
I didn't want to make it too easy because, or too hard either, because it was like, hey, I picked a racing game. So
this is a racing game.
Gonna be, Yeah. So you got your choices here: A, B, C, and D. We got A, Need for Speed 3, Hot Pursuit; B, Carmageddon; C, Speed Busters; D, Felony 1179.
Oh, what? Okay, that was all menu. I got to figure this out for the menu. This could be any of those. I mean, it's just, that's hard. All yeah. right, Need for Speed 3, Hot Pursuit, Carmageddon, Speed Busters. You know, I'm kind of getting a Hot Pursuit vibe out of that. I'm going to say Need for Speed 3, Hot Pursuit.
Bing, you got
Is it.
And the reason why, I picked the game first, and then I was trying to get some game audio from it, and like, as soon as you start playing the game, it's like, wee! It's cop stuff constantly.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
He'll get in like 5 seconds. It's a no brainer. I'm like, well, how about the music right at the very top when he's going through the menu? I was like, okay, that'll work.
big recommend on the remake of Hot Pursuits. Real good.
Yes.
You should play that.
Got it. That I love that game so much because I didn't play Need for Speed. I love playing and racing, but man, when they added Hot Pursuit and the cops were on you and you had to keep it down low, you had to keep the heat off of you.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus.
It's really good.
So much fun.
Yeah, it's really good. Highly recommend it. These other three, never played them. Carmageddon, Speed Busters, Felony 1179, never played any of that.
They all kind of had like, at first, like I said, I was going to do some of the racing stuff. So I tried to pick things that might have cops in them. So I was like, Need for Speed 3, definitely a cops. Carmageddon, I was like, couldn't remember. Speed Busters, that definitely sounds like a cop thing, right? And Felony 1179, I thought, oh, they're all race games.
Yeah.
Surely I'll be able to fool him. But then once I listened to it, I was like, no way, he's going to get this in 5 seconds. So if you looked at Need for Speed 3, Hot Pursuit, in my mind, this game is like cutting edge graphics. I was like, oh yeah, remember Need for Speed Hot Pursuit? That was it's so sexy. And then I went and watched some video clips of it and I'm like, oh my God, they're just boxes. there's like large block shadows and, you know, there's not like shiny reflections on the cars or anything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, this looks ancient now. The trees look like, I don't know. Not trees anymore.
Cardboard stand-ups. Yeah.
That's it. Cardboard standees. The cars are all kind of wonky. And I'm like, okay, so this is definitely a retro game. Maybe it's time for us to do some.
I'm trying to read some of this stuff about Runabout / Felony 1179. I'd never heard of this game.
I hadn't either. Wow. I just went and searched. I said race games from the late 90s. And there was a ton of them.
There was a big whoop right around then.
Yeah, there's a big whoop around it. Yeah.
You know what's still good? Still my favorite of those things, of PlayStation anyway, is probably, Ridge Racer 4. I like Ridge Racer 4 a lot. 4 has got some sauce, man.
I think this Felony 1179 looks exactly like, what is it? Viper. Remember that game that was nothing but Vipers?
It was based on Viper.
Yeah.
That used to make me laugh so hard because it was such a, well, they did one with the bug on the N64, the Volkswagen bug. What was that called?
Yeah.
Beetle Racing.
Oh yeah. That wasn't Midtown Madness, was it?
It was called Beetle something. It had a word Beetle in it. It was absolutely 100% Beetle Adventure Racing. That might have been it.
Beetle Adventure, maybe.
That was 100% a commercial for the new Beetle, the newly designed Beetle, redesigned Beetle. But it was still like a really good racing game. And so sometimes that works. Like Red, like 7-Up Spot or Cool Spot, that shit worked. Most of the time that's bad, but that worked. It's weird how ad games sometimes pull it off, and I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. Blast Corps. Oh my God. All these. I love race games.
Dude,
so
I love Blast Corps. Is not really a racing game, though. That thing's like.
No. I just saw that while I was looking at the race games, too. It's down here at the N64 stuff.
I love that game. Ooh. Yeah. You know what? I know Rare. I don't know who owns the rights. Probably Nintendo does, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
I don't think Rare owns it, so Microsoft can't do anything with it. But I would go for a new Blast Corps, like a modern, destructible environment Blast Corps. Oh, man.
Yes.
Well, there you go. We both won today. That feels good.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. We also have a little feedback from the listeners.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
let's start with this one. This is some feedback from her. We have a name? No name. Anyway, this is a text.
An email with no name.
Email with no name. This is a text that came to 801-471-0462. Play Retro. Thank you guys for the nostalgia hit. I've also passed my RG35XX to my kid, and now I'm looking for something with a bigger screen for my older eyes. Thinking Retroid Pocket 4 Pro. Yes. I'm wanting to buy the stickers and listen. A listener created with the Play Retro and different console schemes. We know who that is. That's Taz in our chat.
Yeah.
It will be 3D printing a cover, or I will be 3D printing a cover to protect analog sticks and buttons. Is there a link that I cannot find for the stickers? I mean, they're not like things that are being produced all the time. However, I'll bet if you reached out to Taz, an arrangement could be made to procure said stickers, if I had to guess.
Yes. And if not, we can always, I can middleman you a little bit.
Yeah, we can facilitate your needs. But if you join us on our Discord, frogpants.com/Discord, just do a search for Taz. You'll find him, especially in the Play Retro group. Send him a thing. And if he may say no, it's up to him. Yeah. You know, so do that. And
But he also may say yes.
He might say yes. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Taz, and I don't want to speak for this anonymous person, but I'm just saying, I think you two can get together.
Yeah.
All right. Here's
Taz
an email.
Taz is a cool guy.
Taz is a great guy. He's a wonderful guy. He says he can hook him up in our chat. Brian and Scott says, AG Bobo, who sent an email to playretroshow@gmail.com. I need to tell you about my 14-year-old son. This kid has decided that the only good games are old games. He hooked up our N64 to our big TV and plays GoldenEye on it. He told me he wants an AmberNick for his birthday next month.
What?
Then last night, he took my old computer, a Surface 4 Pro, and installed Windows 95 via VirtualBox. He has been playing Myst on Windows 95 all day today. I fully support this sort of behavior. In short, I think the kids are going to be all right. Keep up the good work. The show is one of the highlights of my week, says AJ Bobo.
Oh, it's AJ Bobo. Nice.
Okay, yeah. Isn't that cool? That's cool.
That is awesome. I love to hear the continuation. I was the same when I was a kid. You know, I was like, even though there wasn't as much nostalgia exploration that could be had because there's so much now. Mm-hmm. But even back then, yeah, I was the same way. I was like, yeah, I love what's modern, but let's see what they had before. What was in the before times?
And would we call this kid, 14-year-old kid, we call him Generation 14. Alpha? Is that what we call him? I don't know.
He's Generation Badass is what I would call him.
He's not Z, because these are like, you know, 2000 through 2000. I don't know what it is. But 14.
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, if I had to guess, 14, that means you're born in like, what, 2010, this kid? 29?
You could just go. It's exact. Wow, you did fast math, Scott. Did you realize you just did fast math?
Sometimes I'm fast with the math. Sometimes I am woefully slow with the math. So. Anyway, I think that's awesome, and I think your kid's cool. You should tell him that we agree with his lifestyle choices. All right.
Yeah. We don't think he's cool. We think he's rad.
I think he's super rad. I also think this person that called in to the show is also rad, and there's what he had to say.
This is Wooge Man. Calling to let you know that it was recently brought to my attention that NBA Jam Tournament Edition, the arcade, was released in January 30 years ago. So it got me thinking, what is your favorite version of NBA Jam? For me, it's always going to be the one I grew up playing first, which was the Sega CD port, which had great arcade perfect sound. Kind of my favorite besides that would have to be the Wii version, which is way more fun than it should be. Motion controls are weird, but the weirdness made it great. Also, a fun factoid. Tim Kitzrow, I once interviewed for a blog I worked on. He will be recording. Tim Kitzrow's the voice, famous for Boom Shakalaka, Is It the Shoes, and Altitude with an Attitude. Thanks.
I love that guy.
Yeah, Wooge Man's awesome. Let me make you a let me say, if you take the arcade game out of the mix, which I actually think you should do, because the arcade game had default settings that were designed to make you pump quarters into it, and it pissed me off.
Yeah,
that game was forced gambling, and I hated it. Yeah. But I loved the game part of it. So for me, my first home experience was a Super NES version of it, but my favorite version was probably the 360 PS3 game they made called Unreal NBA Jam
Tournament Edition?
Is that the Tournament Edition? No, that was already out. Something else.
Stream?
Rivals or something? Shit. Whatever it was, now I can't remember.
Hang Time?
Was it Hang Time? I don't remember. It is the best they ever did. And it's still, if you bought it back then, you can still download it. No problem. Well, on Xbox. I don't know about, I can't say for PS5. But it is still one of the most fun couch, like competitive things I do with my kids. We pull that out all the time. It still looks really good. Like it, that game held up visually. That's my favorite version of that series.
Yeah.
Like, and I love the old ones. Don't get me wrong. They're amazing. My least favorite is the Genesis game. I don't think it's very good.
Oh, that's funny. That I was going to say, and it might be my inexperience. Of course, I loved it in the arcade. So much fun. But my greatest experiences were on the Super NES and the Sega Genesis, the two that I owned it on. And I played in other places too. Anytime I would get something new and there was an opportunity to play NBA Jam, of course, I'm going to fire it up. But really, I can only speak to my love for the Super NES and the Sega Genesis versions. I like both of them for a little bit different reasons, but but Super NES is where my heart was at growing up when I saw.
And I get that. Of course it is.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, nostalgia. I get it. You know what I really wish would have stuck around and had just as much love thrown at it was NFL Blitz.
Yes.
It preceded this. It was kind of the thing that established it. It was the first game that had that freaking Voodoo logo on it from the Voodoo cards.
Yes. Yes.
And that kind of arcade football is still something I love to do. Oh, NHL right. Hits. I almost forgot about that. I love Hits. Oh,
the Hits is so good.
And NHL Hits 2000 or 2003, I think. Still, right. Is GameCube, PS2 era stuff. Unbelievable hockey game.
Unbelievable.
The fact that I can't just buy that someplace and up-res it to 1080p or something is a crime.
I'm looking right now. Pisses and me off. My God, I never played NBA Hoops with a Z.
Never played
with
Hoops.
Big old shakalaka. On the front of it.
Really? I never played Hoops.
I never played this one. I didn't even know this was one. It's a sequel to the NBA Hang Time and the NBA Showtime.
I'm sure it was just like, hey, we need to get in on some of this NBA Jam business. Oh, yeah, right. For sure. Look at this.
Yeah, probably it's Jam. It's derivative. Hang Time and Showtime and all that stuff is derivative of, it's all the same lineage of NBA Jam. And I just never played Hoops. 2001, PlayStation 2, Dreamcast.
Dreamcast. I bet you never did because it's probably bad. It's probably a bad game.
It's probably terrible, but you know what? 3v3. Oh, look at this. Look at this.
Yeah.
Got some Bulls action on there.
Yeah.
That
was around the time I was still mad at the Bulls. Freaking pushed off.
Yeah.
Jordan, you bastard.
You got Shaq in the front with a baseball. I meant baseball. That'd be great. A basketball on fire.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I was just looking at the screenshot of this video we're playing. The person playing, his name is Bibby.
Oh, Bibby, funny.
That's definitely not our Bibby, yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to capture that for him later. So
you can play it to four players in the Dreamcast version? I could plug up every one of my controllers.
Well, that's why the Dreamcast version of Super Bomberman or Bomberman, whatever it was amazing. Yeah. Oh, that Bomberman game.
Right.
Battle.
Shaq's on fire.
Battle something Bomberman. Oh,
so that's good. Right. That's right. We talked about that on this.
Best version of Bomberman ever made was that Dreamcast game. So good. And the single player is actually excellent. People always forget. Anyway, that's going to do it for our emails and our calls and stuff. If you'd like to be a caller or a texter, 801-471-0462 and playretroshow@gmail.com will take care of the emails. We got to do a quick one of these.
Ludicrous kill.
That's right. Let's get an Unreal report, an Unreal update. What's going on? What are our rankings this week?
All right. So let's see if there's been much change. Not a lot of change on Unreal Tournament 99, but we didn't play this last Monday. So we still got Flapjacks number one. Two is Upright Knight. Actually, I think Upright Knight's kind of moved up. I don't think they were there before. Maybe I'm wrong. Denier at number three. Four at Surge. And number five, my favorite new character to pronounce, Sikreki, bringing it up to number five and knocking Scott down to number six. Usually we don't mention the top six.
I got knocked down to six.
I might as well say Scott's
there. Damn, I haven't been in enough is the problem. I need to get in there and defend
myself. Yeah. And it's not, it's secrecy, but it looks like Sikreki to me. Don't judge me. Now, we did get a chance to play Unreal Tournament UT 2004. Speaking of Sikreki coming in, killing it at number one. Try to kill everything down to number 2, 3, Brack Flack. I think that's a new level. I don't think Brack Flack was there before. Frog Pants, and then rounding out the top 5, Shock Effect. Yep. That's me.
That's you. Real quick. So today is not that day because Brian's got a thing to drive to and I have court 5. So we're not going to be playing UT 2K4 today, but we are going to be taking registrations for Assault Map Teams. Okay.
Oh, that was so much fun last week.
It was really fun and we didn't have enough people. So we want to get enough people involved and also get the word out, which we did a terrible job of doing this last week. I didn't talk about it on any shows. So I want to
Amy,
do that.
Amy put in a lot of work for us. Fraggle did a lot of work and I failed.
Yeah. It was your fault.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll have more on that soon, but just check out the Play Retro group in Discord. We'll have links to how to register and stuff. We're going to create a simpler form for people to sign up. So it's just really easy for you. But basically, we just want to have some teams and we want to do full assault mode in 2K4. It's awesome. It's
a great mode. Assault mode is in 2K4 is so much better than in 99. It is just legit fun. The map we played, you jumped in your tanks and you assaulted your way to checkpoints along the way. The maps are huge and fun. And man, it's a lot better than the Unreal Tournament 99 version.
Let's 100%. The assault mode couldn't be more starkly different. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So good.
And then they're even better in 3, but nobody played 3. So whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, more on that over at retrogib.com. Before we go today, I wanted to tell you that our next show is going to be all about System Shock. Finally, we're going to talk about System Shock.
Shocking.
I mean, we've been putting that off for 2-3 weeks because we just keep finding something to bump. But System Shock is about ready for its due. We'll talk about the original. We'll talk about that remake that came out not long ago. And maybe the future of Future Shock and all that. Or Future Shock, System Shock. But all that Bioshock in the middle. There are some pretty good games in there, too.
Yeah. Oh, and is there, say, 50% off on the... there's that big old sale going on Steam right now. System Shock, 50% off. You can pick it up for like $20 or something.
I haven't been over there yet. I got to go look at what money I'm spending today because I know I'm buying games today. It's just going to happen.
Yeah. Man, it's going to happen. Steam's killing me this week, baby.
Mm-hmm. These bastards. Oh, look at that. That's a good one I want to buy. Hold on.
Dang it. RoboCop Rogue City is for $30 right now.
I bought that. That game's rad. It's
supposed to be good.
It is good. I played it. It's good. Real good. Let's see. There's a good deal on... Where is it? All the Stellaris DLC is on sale. I love that game.
Yeah. Once again, we don't make no money off this crap.
No. What's this one?
Ooh, love the game.
Subnautica Below Zero is finally on sale. $9. I think I'm buying that.
Oh, dude, that is a great game for $9. Holy hell.
Dragon Ball Z, we just talked about, $14. For their RPG game. Division 2, $8. Come on now. This is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm buying...
It's giving them away.
I'm going to buy that Dune... what is Dune Imperium? Award-winning board game?
What? Game for Doom? What?
All right, there's a lot I want.
My butthole.
We'll see how that goes. Anyway, that's going on. Also want to thank our patrons who are now getting wonderful benefits like no commercials ever, pre-show content every week, and other great benefits simply by joining us like Michael Furlong, Ben, and Mr. Zip. These are just 3 of our fabulous patrons, and we love them. Please go over to where they went, patreon.com/playretro, and sign up today. Big thanks to everybody who supports their favorite retro podcast. It's going to do it for us. Go to frogpants.com/playretro for everything else. Brian, is there anything you'd like to say before I cut you off unceremoniously?
Don't do that. Don't cut me off. Wait, no, you, Scott.
No, you.
No, you.
Go play something retro. We'll see you next week.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Chrono Trigger.